The Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to come and worship with us Sundays 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.org. That address again, www.lindenurc.org. Choosing this day, whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Psalm 71 is a psalm that is dealing with the challenges and the problems of old age. It's what the psalm is thinking about, what the psalmist is wrestling through. No one likes to talk about that much today. That's not something that really gets to the top of the sermon charts, if there are sermon charts. We live in a culture that wants nothing to do with it. We're in a youth culture that thrives on beauty and the strength of the body, and it's just really out of control, if you haven't noticed. None of us really like to talk about what's happening to us. There was and I'm going to use this morning, and you're going to hopefully see why it's so important to make the contrast. It was interesting that last week there was a big article written on ESPN. The article was on Michael Jordan. And I don't care what anyone says, that was the greatest athlete ever to exist, okay? Let's get that out of the way right up front. The article is about Jordan turning 50. And Jordan, you know, if you are about my age, you remember in the 90s, we would sit around and watch Michael Jordan play ball, and all of us wanted to be like Mike. We all wore his shirts and his shoes. The writer interviewing Jordan asked, "It must be strange to be locked in combat with the ghost of your former self." Jordan says, "At 30, I was moving so fast. I never had time to think about things I was encountering, all the things I was touching. Now I can slow down and hopefully remember what that meant. That's when I know I'm getting old. Man, I wish I was playing right now. I would give up everything now to go back and to play the game of basketball." "How do you replace it?" he asked. "You don't. You learn to live with it. The game to me," he said, now listen to this language, "was a refuge and the place where I've gone to find comfort and peace." He still dreams of playing at 50, getting back to his playing weight of 218. "Aging means losing things," he says, "not just eyesight and flexibility. It means watching the accomplishments of your youth be diminished." Even after Jordan is gone, he knows people will remember him. "Here lies the greatest basketball player of all time." That's his epitaph. When he walked off the court for the last time, he must have believed that nothing could even diminish what he had done. As closest to immortality he would ever get. The knowledge would be his shield against aging. There's a fable about returning Roman generals who rode in victory parades through the streets of the capital. A slave stood behind them, whispering in their ears, "All glory is fading." The article ends. Jordan is alone. He hates being alone because that means it's quiet. He doesn't like silence. He can't sleep without noise. The house is dark. It's 1 a.m. On the TV is the Western Channel, his favorite movie, Unforgiven. He knows every scene, and sometime before the shootout in the saloon, he falls asleep. It's the end of the article. That's a tragedy. He's looking back at life, and he's completely stuck in where he is at 50. The glory has faded, and now what? What does he have? There's no satisfaction. He's a miserable man. The world struggles with this. The world doesn't understand this. The world This is the greatest perplexity to them. How can such glory be chipped away? Hey, we would all love Rocky Balboa to climb back in the ring at 60 and take out the new young champ. But it's a fable. If you understand the struggle, you understand Psalm 71. You have a man in this psalm, probably David, dealing with this struggle of old age. But not just that, dealing with all of the hardship and pain that comes with growing old. There's nothing easy about it, and the psalm tells us that very clearly and very plainly. The psalm is about as honest as it gets, and as he's looking at this struggle, he's providing us an answer, and that's why I love this psalm. I didn't realize how wonderful this psalm was till I used this psalm to minister to many of the older brothers and sisters who were dying. And how the Christian is to handle this, how the Christian is to think through this, to think through, and what is God's purpose in this? What is to be the attitude through this? It's a struggle. It's a real struggle that none of us probably really understand till you're there. But the psalm gives us great insight into it. And how is the Christian to be different? How is the Christian to be different in how he approaches growing old, especially with the pain and all of the weariness that it brings? This psalm is having us think through very simply where true strength lies and where it's always been found. That's the point. And that's what makes Psalm 71 so special. Notice verse 1. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and rescue me. He's desperate. Do you hear the plea? I come to you, O Lord, for help, for security. And as I do that, let me never be disappointed in coming. There are two things happening to this man. The key to understanding this psalm is what this man is facing and how he describes it. It's found in two particular verses, verses 9 and verse 18. Notice what he says there. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. And then he says it again to make you understand that this is what he's really struggling with. Verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Now, why is he asking that? Why is he asking that? Don't forsake me. Don't forsake me. Did you notice? I'm old. The glory is gone. The glory is gone. I believe there are two reasons he felt this way. One is probably something that is extended to society at large. This is what the world has always done in society to those they deem as unuseful. Old age robs us of the former glory. Old age and outward beauty, it deprives us of strength. We need to be active. And many people feel that they're unuseful anymore because of it. We see this play out in the medical world today, don't we? There's a whole shift in thinking in our country that once you get past a certain age, if you're draining the system, you know, let them go. Let them go. So this is what lies behind the old the thinking. What are old people for? And some of you really struggle with that. In Christ's day, they didn't have convalescent homes, by the way. The elderly were public, and societies did what they could to remove those from the daily activities of the people who were a hindrance. Remember the Pool of Siloam. You had many of these sicknesses in the elderly sitting out there if they didn't have families to care for them. That was it. No homes. And this is really, I believe, what he describes. People are looking at him. People are viewing him, and he views this as a very severe attack upon him. It's a very severe attack. This is hard in our day because we really do. We live in a youth culture and everything is focused on beauty. And notice how he's wrestling with this in verse 7 because he says, I've become as important to many. What does that mean? I'm a wonder to many. People are looking at him. And whatever's happened, they're astonished that so powerful a man is so weak and despised. In other words, this was quite a man in his day. This was quite a man in his day. He was known. He was powerful, especially if it's David. And look at what's happening to him in verse 4. Deliver me out of the hand of the wicked, out of the unrighteous and the cruel man. What are they doing? Verse 10. My enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait take counsel together. What are they saying? God has forsaken him. In other words, the people have completely written him off. They're looking at him and saying, he's useless. If he's like that, how could God really care about a person in that kind of state? What purpose does he serve in life? He's nothing. And that has brought about all sorts of pain. That has brought about all sorts of cries, you know. And maybe because the psalmist didn't realize, and I think this is just true, we don't realize that life only gets harder the older we get. We have this dream that it's going to get better. I've got news for you. It's not going to get better. It's going to get harder. He's experiencing this. He's experiencing a sense of rejection. And what does rejection bring? Rejection brings a sense of loneliness. He's alone. Everyone's written him off. Think of the burden here. His situation, his strength, his body has become so weak. The people who once knew him chalked him off as someone that God has forsaken. Very similar to the problem with Job and his friends. Look at that man waste away. Do you remember what he used to be in his former glory? This comes into the minds of people. Who loves? Who cares for these people? It's a real trial that we probably don't appreciate enough that our older brothers and sisters face. No strength. You feel the awful pain of being alone. And if you want to get a sense of that, walk down the aisles of the convalescent homes. These were the people who built your community years ago. Look in their rooms. You can hear the pain. Who takes notice of it? I've seen God strip very powerful men and take everything. I've seen it in the ministry. It's hard to minister to. Is God with these people? You may not wrestle with this right now, but you probably will. What do you do at this moment? What do you have at this moment? There's something else happening here. The second struggle. Do you hear in the cry something else? Don't forsake me when I'm old and gray-headed. I hear a concern in that. What is it? There's a fear there, isn't there? There's a real fear that this older person is feeling. Don't let me be put to shame. I don't want to fail in my old age. It's remarkable how many older people in the scriptures didn't finish very well. In this psalm, the dying saint is recalling his life, his past, his choices. And you know, when you stare death in the face, when you're at the very end and you're looking back, you know, you look over your life, there's a lot to think about. There are moments of real joy. There are moments of embarrassment. There are moments of loss. And then you have to deal with the struggle of the stupid things you did when you were young and the sins of your youth and guilt. Can be a terrible thing that people go through. The slideshow before your life, of your life at the very end, can bring despair, can it? Remembering is not so attractive at the end of a long life that's been lived in rebellion. But that's not what he's doing. And I think that's a teaching point in and of itself. Ultimately, that is not what he remembers, does he? This is so instructive this morning. This is so helpful for all of us here. And you know what I would have titled this psalm? A psalm for the youth. This is for the young people to consider. Over against all of the failures, he's asking the Lord to strengthen him. And what does he pray? What is he thinking about? I want you to notice this. You're really going to see why this psalm is so precious to the older saints. To be forsaken of God would be one of the worst things to go through. But he calls to the Lord. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. I put all of my confidence. My whole being rests in you. You're the longing of my heart. Notice verse 3, be my rock of refuge to which I may come continually. In verse 3, his face shines. You've given the commandment to save me. So at the end of life, where is he going? What's he doing? Think of the contrast here for a moment. Think of Michael Jordan just for a second. Jordan, greatest athlete, looking at his glory fading, and here's a believer looking at the same thing. Two different paths, two different ways. What's Jordan looking at? Jordan's looking back and he's looking at an idol of the past that he thought brought him satisfaction. It never really did bring satisfaction because it's stuck in time, by the way. But he thinks it brought satisfaction. And so he clings to that with the glory day stuff. You know, we all like that song, Glory Days. He's looking at that. He's thinking about that. And what's happening? He is getting angry. He's bitter. That's what the writer of ESPN noted, that the whole thing is dispersed with an angry Michael Jordan. He's 50 and he says, how can I enjoy the next 20 years without so much of this consuming me? And that's exactly why people who age, when you see people, some of them are very miserable people, angry people. It's hard, very hard. They're bitter. They've lost something they desperately are trying to hold on to. What is the psalmist looking at? What is the psalmist looking back? He's going back over life and he's considering what it was like. And what does he see? All of his glory's gone, but there's something far different here. He's realizing something about his past that he didn't always see so clearly. What did he see looking back? What is the truth of the matter? Look at verse 5. For you, O Lord, are my hope. My trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. So he begins to look back and he says, when I was a youth, I remember seeing your working. And you can put it in these terms. I remember standing up and professing faith in the Lord as a young man. I remember that. You were my hope then. I believe. I remember that. Do you remember that? Remember the joy? That's what profession of faith should bring. It should bring a joy. What the Lord has done in you and how he's been faithful. And you're standing up and saying, I believe. He's struck with God's power. But that's not where he stops. Where would you expect him to go? From the moment I made the decision and now go forward. But he doesn't do that. He starts from the moment he had an understanding and he works backwards. Notice what he says here. What he says, he doesn't go from his decision for the Lord. He moves backward to the time before his birth. It's a period when he had what? Absolutely no strength. Think about this. What was the truth of the matter? I have leaned upon. The word means I have been supported. I have been supported by you from my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. I think the psalmist must have stopped and thought, I didn't bring about my birth. I didn't put myself in the womb. And he's looking back. I didn't profess in my own power. Using the words of the Apostle Paul, remember Paul was Saul, who for years wasted his life persecuting Christians. Remember what Paul would say? The Lord set me apart before I was born, Galatians 1. And he called me by his grace, and he was pleased to reveal his son to me. Paul looked back, and what did he say? There's no way I got here on my own. From birth you knew me. From birth you knew me, formed me, preserved me. And look at where I am today. David is saying this. Here's what he realized looking back. You have been my strength the whole way through. Now that's a really important point this morning because I don't think he always realized that. I don't think I always realized that. Where do young people find their satisfaction? Well, the Proverbs tell us. Young people, where do you find your satisfaction? The glory of young men is their strength. That's their glory. Proverbs 20. And here he stands at the end of it all. At the end of it all, with no strength. And what's he saying? What's he saying? Any amount of strength that he ever enjoyed, strength that really mattered, was never something he produced. You get that? It's never something he produced. Former strength is not to speak of man's greatness after he dies as being able to put a ball in a hoop. That's not strength. Strength that matters comes from the Lord. And you hear what he's saying? He had come to know that all of his life, God's favor rested upon him. And now he sees it. Do you see this? He's always been with you. I don't know how many here, my guess, I won't make you show hands, but how many have been blessed to be nurtured and trained and raised up in the Christian faith? Quite a few. And we tend to look at the great conversions that happen later as the extraordinary thing. But I'll tell you what God's normal way of working is, which is really extraordinary, is this. And I don't know how much you've given thought to it, but how common is all of this to us, you know? How common is all of this to us this morning? Bibles, schools, pastors, church. And do we really stop and ever think that this is God's manifest evidence that he's among us? The sadness of Jordan, when he says, I was going so fast through life, think about this. I didn't have time to think about the things I was encountering. What was Michael Jordan encountering that he found satisfaction in? A ball. Do we have to wait till 90, if we make it to that age, to realize what we are encountering? Ever think about what you're encountering as God's people? From birth, the Lord says, I love you and I want you to put your sign on your children so that you know that. And all the way, I want you to teach them that they belong to me. And I want you to know that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to hold out for you grace. I'm going to hold out for you spiritual food every Lord's Day. And that's the whole way through. Jordan asks, how can I find peace away from the game of basketball? The Lord says, my peace I give to you. No one can take it. It's almost as if worship today is a burden to us. And here is my generation, because I did it, chasing Jordan's dream with their children. Think about it. Here is my generation. I did it. I climbed up as high as I could get and only got to D2. And today I suffer in the knees. Do you think about what we're really encountering? All of us are going to be in this position, but which one are we going to be in? That's the question. When you face these things, you either get really bitter by the outcome of what's been taken from you, and it could be a million idols, or you will stand in awe that through it all there was one who has always been your rock. That's what he says. You are my rock. One who knew you from the womb, one who's carried you the whole way through, and all of your failures to fill your heart with living water, one who stands outside of time, not like a dead idol that doesn't speak and that doesn't move and that cannot satisfy. One who has promised to be with you and encourage and help you and give you lasting peace. I just don't think that such a realization of that and a life of praise should begin at 90. Do you? You see what he's saying? Since this blessing is all that I've ever known, and this is what I've enjoyed, now that my hour of trial has come, don't forsake me. And I think this is the heart of the psalm because, think about this, this is the heart of the psalm because we see that this truth of what Christ has been to him and for him brought him to the realization of something very important this morning. Do you know what it is? We get to show the world that there is the greatest meaning in the decreasing of our life. It's in our decreasing that Christ increases. Do you realize that? John said that. I must decrease and he must increase.
Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. As always, we're thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Do please visit our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe, maps to churches, and many, many resources there for you. So do please explore that website at agradio.org. Well, thanks for taking the time to tune in. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Hi, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio, and we would like to invite you to our annual Abounding Grace Radio Support Dinner. This dinner will be held in Linden, Washington this month, March 16. That's a Saturday evening. It'll be a great night of entertainment, and also I will speak about Abounding Grace Radio. You can meet our board chair and see what's happening with Abounding Grace. We would love for you to be a part of that dinner. If that interests you, again, that dinner is March 16 in Linden, Washington. If that interests you, do please go to our website and send us an email and let us know if you would like to come. We will put you down on our list. Again, March 16, the Abounding Grace Radio Support Dinner. We're thankful that you have been a supporter. If there's any Canadians who are interested, we would love to have you come down and join us that night for a night of fellowship and rejoicing in what the Lord is doing and advancing his gospel to the ends of the earth. Thanks for taking the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. It's hard to find teaching today that is gospel-centered and Christ-glorifying. This is our goal here at Abounding Grace Radio. We are a Christian radio broadcasting ministry committed to historic Protestant Reformation theology and the message of salvation by grace alone through faith alone. We teach the gospel of Jesus Christ from all of Scripture as a witness to those who do not believe and to strengthen believers in the truth of God's Word. At Abounding Grace Radio, we desire that all listeners would come to know the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give ourselves each and every day to bring this radio broadcast to you. We invite you to go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. All of these programs are there in podcast format for you for download for free. We would love to hear from you. We remind you that we are a listener-supported program. We are very thankful for any prayerful and financial support and would like you to know that any support that you give will go to the cost of the program. We are very thankful always to have this opportunity to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. If this has been a blessing to you, do please write to us. Our address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Well, thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. May this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.